Time now for your letters, and we received many about last week's essay by Weekend Edition food commentator Bonnie Wolf. She had recently attended a dinner where wild game was served. How jarring it was to wake up to Ms. Wolf extolling the virtues of hunting, writes Susan Muller of Sacramento, California. It disgusted me to hear her lauding the kindly hunters who twinge right before they kill something. I lived in the deep woods for years and chose to feed sickly and starving fawn orphans, probably made so by one of those hunters with the twinge. Casey Quinlan of Richmond, Virginia, offered this perspective.
Thanks so much for this piece. As a hunter, I can confirm the fleeting moment of sadness at the kill and the moral necessity to eat what you kill. Killing an animal solely for sport or for a trophy is repugnant to real hunters. I'm a member of the fastest growing hunter population, women, and enjoy my time in the field as a way to reconnect with nature and with my primal self.
2 weeks ago, guest host Jackie Lydon interviewed two newspaper editors about how the federal stimulus package has affected their cities. Ann D'Amico of Gainesville, Florida, had this response. I enjoyed Jackie Lydon's interview with editors from Ohio and Amarillo, Texas, on how the stimulus jobs program has affected their towns. But when John Canellis of Amarillo claimed that his town disliked the Obama administration because they hate deficits and then named two jobs programs the town had attracted as an example of their self-sufficiency, I do wish Ms. Lydon had reminded him that both industries he cited, U.S. bomber production and windmill manufacturing, are both paid for or supported by federal tax dollars. If people were reminded more often where their food is coming from, they might not bite so hard the hand that feeds them. And there were several comments about this question Jackie posed to Amy Green, the author of the Appalachia-based novel, Bloodroot.
Were you worried, Amy Green, as you were writing this novel? People don't email here. It goes into the present. They don't drink lattes. Were you worried that such a time-out-of-mind place that you've created just might not survive, you know, the real world where people are reading on the subway on their Kindles?
Judith Schmidt of Ann Arbor, Michigan, had this response.
I thank Ms. Lydon for the review of the book, but I'm appalled at her apparent ignorance of life outside the big city. What a provincial attitude. I'm not from Appalachia, but it's the kind of thing that gets NPR parodied and otherwise skewered.
We want to hear from you. Send us an email by going to npr.org and clicking the link that says Contact Us, or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/NPRweekend. You can also find me on Twitter, NPR Leanne, all one word, LIANE. This is NPR News.